this is the want predicate. It's an instance of the general want. This node is the go and the boy, and there's edges in the graph for relations, and there are they can be shared. So the boy is an argument of want, and it's also an argument of go, and that's where we get reentrancies in this graph. And this is just to show you also we have a way of writing it with in this notation where the slash means this is an instance, this is a node label, and it's an instance of a type, and this is what a relation looks like, and this node label B is reused here, so that's how you represent reentrancy in this text parentheses representation. So AMRs started with Kevin Knight at ISI, and there's been groups of people meeting to standardize annotation guidelines, and they've been annotating them at LDC. In terms of the type of representation or the type of information that's encoded in an AMR, it's built on PropBank, so that's why it has the ARG1 and ARG2 type labels that I showed you. Also uses the PropBank role sets as senses for the verbs. It has more than you have in PropBank, so it has more, it represents the complete structure of a sentence, so it looks inside noun phrases and also does coreference that shows up as a reentrancy in the graph, and discourse relations within a sentence like but and and. It's not a complete logical representation. It doesn't do anything to represent quantifiers, for example. It also abstracts away from verb tense. So it's something somewhere in between what you would have in PropBank or what you would have with a syntax tree and a complete logical formula. So just to give you an idea of what level of abstraction it is, there, you could have many sentences that end up having the same AMR, and this is an example. He described her as a genius. As he described her, she's a genius. His description of her, a genius. So these could all get normalized to the same representation where you have a described predicate and he and she and genius. Okay. So, for machine translation, we're interested in using AMR as a cross-language representation of some kind. And our hope is that these will, that if you look at AMRs from two languages, that they'll line up and that they'll line up more closely than the syntactic representations. And there's some evidence of this, so it seems that if you go from dependency trees to a PropBank type representation, there's sort of more agreement. And then what about AMRs? Will they align even more? That's something we're looking at. We've sort of organized into subgroups, and so I'm gonna go through each subgroup. And the first is meaning in AMR and tectogrammatical representation interchange. So that's looking at the tectogrammatical representation that was developed here at Prague and looking at how close it is to AMR, whether it can be, whether you can do automatic conversion from one representation to the other, and Andre is going to talk more about that in a minute. Also looking at this, how similar AMRs are in translations of the same sentence in different languages. And we've collected some parallel AMRs for the same sentences in English, Chinese, and Czech, and developed a mapping from tectogrammatic to AMR. So here's an example of two AMRs for the same sentence in two languages. So this is a major do moment. And here you have an English AMR and an English AMR and a Chinese AMR sort of lined up with the corresponding nodes next to each other. And you can see they're not exactly the same. So for example, here at the root, there's some difference. And that comes from the fact that in Chinese there's one predicate for be temporally located at, and in English there's one node for be, and then another node for the noun moment. And we could maybe change this, change the MR so that it also has a predicate for temporal location. Here's another source of differences. So the Chinese sentence had a word for cry, and that sort of conveyed the same idea as the major and major moment. There's also many cases where you have one word in one language and a multi-word expression in the other language. So tells the tale, one word in Czech, several words in English, or in the other direction, speeding, one word in English, several words in Czech. And so the question is, can we make these look the same in AMR? So should AMR make more of an effort to make the multi-word expressions a single predicate? So things to investigate over the workshop. What choices do we make in the AMR representation in order to abstract away from language-specific lexicalizations or make it easier to map between the two languages? Okay, so also another group is, or another project is working on creating AMRs from English sentences, so parsing into AMR. And Jeff Flanagan has already developed a system for this, and I'll give you an overview of how it works. So the first step is to take an input sentence and identify phrases that correspond to concepts in the AMR, which are little graph fragments. And so that's the first stage. Second stage is connecting the graph fragments with relations to make a complete graph for the sentence. And that first stage of concept identification, each concept is a span, so it's sort of a segmentation problem. Should we make two concepts for Kevin Knight, or have a two-word phrase that creates one concept? And so there's a dynamic programming model to handle this segmentation and choose one segmentation for the sentence, and that gives you your initial set of graph fragments. And then you add edges to connect the graph fragments. And this is what they call a subgraph, minimum subgraph connected component algorithm. And it works by training a model to score, could generate a score for every possible edge between two graph fragments. So that would look something like this. For every edge, you have some score, and you want to choose which edges should appear in the final graph. So edges that are, edges with negative scores are automatically included, so that can give you cycles in the graph. And then you're looking, if the graph is still not connected, you're looking for what edges you need to make everything connected. So that's like a minimum spanning tree problem. There's also a constraint that the graph that you end up with should be deterministic. Deterministic means you don't have two arcs with the same label coming out of one node. So that's an additional constraint, and that's handled using Lagrangian relaxation. That means you add weights on the edges and increase the weights, decode several times to generate a graph until the weights are increased to the point that you get a something that meets this constraint and just has one arg one coming out of each node. And these are the results so far. The goal for the workshop is to sort of improve the system in many different ways. Another project is Chinese AMR parsing, and this is, part of the motivation is that for Chinese, we only have gold standard AMRs for 100 sentences. We have gold standard tree bank for many more. And so this is a system to go from tree bank representation to AMR. And this system is, it's a parsing-based system. So you parse the dependency tree into a graph. So it's a, like a transition-based parser, a shift-reduced parser, where you have a stack and a buffer. So the buffer is the tree that you're parsing, stack is graph fragments that you're generating as you go, and at each step you can do one of several graph operations on the graph that you're constructing. Delete an edge, swap two nodes, replace head, merge two nodes. And so I'll give you an example of how that works. So if you start with this dependency tree, this is the graph that we want to end up with. And the way the parser would go through this would be start at this node at the bottom and copies it, merges it into the node for boy, then we move to two, don't do anything, move to, and now we want to turn New York City into one node for this concept. So we take new and city and merge them, then take York and new and city and merge them into one node. Then move up the tree one more, or delete this node for two, and then move up the tree and now add a child. So this is where the tree turns into a graph with reentrancies. So this visit gets boy added as a child. Okay, so that's the basic operation of the parser. And keeps going till we're done when we get to the root. Okay, so one more group is graph learning for AMR. And this is, so the goal here, or the basic project is, what kind of grammars do we want to work with? What kind of grammars do we need to work with these, with graphs instead of trees? So syntax-based machine translation basically works from going from a string in one language to a tree that's in common between the two, and then a string in the target language. And the basic formalism is synchronous context-free grammar. If we want to do machine translation with a graph as this intermediate formalism rather than a tree, then what's the equivalent, what's the formalism to work with? So, obvious choice is this existing formalism for graph grammars called hyperedge replacement grammars. And this is kind of like context-free grammars. So you have a graph where hyperedges can be rewritten. So hyperedges in this hypergraph can be either terminals or non-terminals. And non-terminals can be rewritten where you substitute one edge with a graph fragment that itself can contain terminals and non-terminals. Now, if you have a graph and you want to parse it, or you know it was generated with one of these grammars and you want to figure out how, there's an algorithm to do it, and but it's exponential time. And so here, this is the size of the graph. And in the exponent, we have two things. We have one parameter that depends on the grammar. But we also have this parameter for the degree of the vertices in the graph that's also in the exponent. And so that means that this problem, it's NP-complete even if the grammar is fixed, and but the graphs, the input graphs are not fixed. And so one of our goals for this month is to try to deal with this complexity problem and try to find some formalism that would cover the graphs that we want for AMR, for NLP, that would be polynomial time parsable. And we're also interested in learning these hyperedge replacement grammars, and the approach will be a Markov chain Monte Carlo. And now I'm ready to turn it over to Andre for the second part.
good morning, everybody. My name is Ondřej Bojar, and I know that the lunch is supposed to be in 10 minutes, so I'll make the presentation really fast. What I'm going to report here is the subpart of the AMR team, and actually our work on converting our Pragi and tectogrammatical data to AMRs. This is much work in progress, and hopefully there will be many links with other subparts of the AMR team, like the graph parsing and so on. And it's also joint work. It's not work of myself only. It's Jan Hajič, our linguist Sylvia Cinková, then a student of mine, Roman Sudarikov, Zdenka Uršová, and then two other members of the team, Ondřej Dušek and Martin Popel. So you can talk to anyone of those to get more details about the plan and the status. So the goal of AMR team is to do machine translation using AMRs. Well, the question is whether we get this far during the month, and we are kind of doubtful about this. Everybody should be, but we are confident that we'll make some reasonable steps towards that goal. What we need, at least to start with, is the data. And we already have some data. As Dan Gilda has mentioned, we have 100 sentences that are in Czech and English already manually annotated at that level. And all the machine learning guys are most welcome to learn from this little data. So if you are able to train anything on 100 sentences, to train some graph transformation on 100 sentences, come to us and show us how this performs. We also have, there is some English monolingual AMR data around, and what we have for Czech and English is at the tectogrammatical layer only, which is some deep syntactic representation. Later on there will be lectures about this, so who is not familiar with this layer of annotation will learn details later. And in this formalism, we have both manual data as well as automatically annotated data. For the manual data, it's the Wall Street Journal section of the Pantry Bank, which is about 50,000 sentences, parallel Czech and English, so the Czech was translated from the English source. And for automatically annotated data, we have 15 million sentences, and that's what we use for our MOSES-based system to train this. So we obviously have also the full cascade that given some English string or Czech string will give you the deep syntactic representation. And now we want to go one step further. So what you see in the upper part of the picture is the tectogrammatical representation, and this is, I believe, the automatically annotated one. This is the automatically annotated one, I guess. So it's the sentence is, in fact, that may be sufficient reason to build it all by itself. And you see many nodes, but actually there are more words in the sentence than in the deep syntactic representation. And if you convert it to the AMR, and this is the way we draw AMRs here in Prague, as dependency trees, that then occasionally link or could link to each other when there is some coreference in the sentence. This is much simpler. So that's where we hope the generalization happens. The deep syntactic representation is already too fine-grained and that's where the difference between languages arrives. And the hope is that if you go one step further, one step towards the generalization, your cross-lingual divergence will close, almost vanish. So that's the goal. I'm deliberately not carefully making the distinction between trees and graphs because the graph aspect of AMRs is, to my understanding, only limited to coreference. And we are used to handle coreference with arrows of a special kind, like the brown one there. So to us, there's not a big difference between dependency graphs, or like rooted trees, and the graphs that AMR uses. So the approach of the conversion that we have is this one. We actually start with the with the AMR manual, the guidelines for annotation. And we look at all the examples there, and a linguist, Silvia Cinkova, reads those examples. And because it's not, she's not just any linguist, she's actually the linguist that is who designed the English textogrammatical annotation, she knows how the depicted phenomenon should be represented in the textogrammatical layer. So what she does is she writes a query that searches for this particular aspect, the particular phenomenon that is depicted in the guidelines, and it searches in the textogrammatical trees. So so the mapping that should be done when going from the textogrammatical layer to the AMR is done by Sylvie when she saw this phenomenon. AMR linguists would like to draw it like this, and I know that in the T layer we draw it like this. So it's like a subtree replacement that has to be done. So she imagines the subtree that would reflect that phenomenon, and then we run the queries on the tree bank. I'll skip step now, step five for now. So what in the end, we know that a particular subpart of the T3 should be drawn differently in the AMR syntax. These differences should not be too drastic, but these are still local changes in the tree. So if we know that a particular part of the tree has to be changed, we just apply that. The problem that we are now facing and will be facing for a few days or weeks at least is rule disambiguation, because the AMR guidelines and the way that Sylvia interprets them are rather general, and many of the rules apply at many positions. So if you want to change the graph, you need to disambiguate. You need to pick a rule that is the one that should be used there. Okay, so let's briefly skim the process in more detail. This is one of the examples from the AMR guidelines. The example consists of two sentences. There could be more sentences. The girl adjusted the machine, the girl made an adjustment to the machine, and both of these sentences should be represented with the same AMR as written above those sentences. So that's the little graph, and these are examples for Sylvia. Sylvia actually looks at the sentences and imagines how these would be represented in the T-layer representation, and she writes queries that correspond to that. So queries that search for some verb like the adjusting, like to adjust, that is complemented by some actor, the girl in this particular example, and the machine, which is the patient in the sentence, then this rule will search for all the verbs and all the actors and patients, and once we find this, we can change the structure of the tree to correspond to the AMR structure. So Sylvia can either write the queries in a simple formal notation, or the queries can be even edited in some visual form, and that is very much similar to what the subpart of the tree would look like when you find it in the tree bank. So that's it. We search the tree bank for occurrences of these patterns, and this is an example sentence where many rules applied. So the thick color bars indicate the matching of the nodes and the parts of the rule, and there is also some part of the annotation which is this patient and the auxiliary, the indefinite article A and effort, which are part of the natural T-layer annotation. So the main problem that we are facing now is which rules to apply. Here in the picture, I've highlighted that it's like four rules that could specify the AMR shape of this upper node. Three rules here down there. Our idea is that we'll manually annotate some of those, and then automatically do the rest by training a classifier that would pick the closest matching rule. The status of the development here is that we have some tentative user interface for this annotation, but no annotation has been done yet. The actual conversion is very much dependent on the relation between the found snippets in the tree and the target AMR, and this relation is actually preserved by the linking of the original TLayer nodes that were found by the query and the labeled nodes in the AMR. So there is some alignment between the target AMR structure, the target subtree, and the source subtree. So the procedure for the conversion will be simply restructure the subtree to mimic the AMR guideline shape. And the status here is that we have first implementation ready in Perl, but that's hand-coded. So if there is anyone who has some toolkit for tree rewriting, we would probably be happy to convert our rules to the input for that, so the rewriting could be more data-driven than hand-coded in Perl. Okay, so summary. There is data and tools available, the 100 sentences of manual data where you can either learn from that directly or that we will use for evaluation. Then there are the manual 50,000 sentences. There are the tools that we have for that, the Trix toolkit and the thread editor. The images were created by that particular editor. And the conversion status is kind of finished pipeline that, however, severely lacks the rule disambiguation part, and nothing has been evaluated yet. So that's it.